It's a blessing tonight. We're going to have four teenagers preaching, and my idea is I never go up to a teenager and tell them that they're going to preach, because if it's not in their heart to preach, then they probably shouldn't be up here anyway. And so I give them the opportunity months before Youth Emphasis Night. I just throw it out there. Hey, if anybody would like to preach, you're invited to do that. Come and, you know, of course, we'll work on a sermon. We'll get you ready and all of that. I encourage them to preach. I challenge them to do that, but I never tell anybody, hey, you're going to preach. And it's just it's up to them. And if they feel led to do that. And so we've got four preachers that are going to preach. We're going to have two preacher boys right now. Ray, if you'll come. And Ray's going to start us off. He's got the first message. And these guys are nervous, as you could probably guess. So encourage them and say amen as they're preaching. I was able to work with all of these young men with their sermons, and they put a lot of thought into it. They didn't just go out and flippantly put something on a piece of paper. They put a lot of thought into it. They revised it. And so I think it'll be a blessing if you listen to what they have for us tonight. Brother Ray, come on and preach.
All right. All right. I was waiting for that. All right. Turn your Bibles to Haggai, chapter number 1. Haggai 1. All right. We're going to be looking at a couple verses. We're going to start at verse number 5. All right. Verse number 5 says, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." And we're going to skip down to verse number 7. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Okay, so I was reading through my Bible, and I noticed "consider your ways" is mentioned in the first chapter twice. And like preacher was saying this morning, God doesn't repeat himself just to put things on a piece of paper. He's saying it to get something, to get a point across. So he said to emphasize it. The people were to consider their ways. Why? Because their priorities were not in order. Okay. I have a couple points for you tonight. My first point is that they were only focused on themselves. Haggai 1:4, it says, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house," meaning the Lord's house, "to lie waste?" When me and Brother Mick, we were working on the sermon, I had to look up the definition of sealed, and it just meant a house with a ceiling. I was thinking about that, and everybody that Haggai was talking to, they had these nice houses. And the Lord's house was just sitting there, rotting away, lying waste. Okay, even though they were focused on themselves, they were still not satisfied. And I was looking through, I was reading my Bible, verse 6, it stuck out to me the most. "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to be put into a bag with holes." I was thinking about what preacher was saying these last few Wednesday nights about living life under the sun. Okay, Ecclesiastes 5:10: "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, for he that loveth abundance with increase, this also is vanity." A lot of us, we tend to want, you know, that's in our human nature. We see something. Okay, I want the newest iPhone. I want the newest pair of shoes or something like that. And then other times we see people we have, like, they have a nicer house than us. They have a better car than us, and we tend to get jealous. And sometimes we get mad at them. Sometimes we're like, why does this person have this, but I don't? Luke 12:15 says, "And he said unto them, take," or this is Jesus talking. Luke 12:15, "And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth in the abundance of things which he possesseth." Amen. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew 6. We're going to be, while you're turning there, we're going to be looking at verses 19 and 20. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. So, like I was saying earlier, we tend to want things. Sometimes we want stuff, and then we just get it. No reason, most of the time, it's no reason to get the thing, because it's there. We want it. Amen? And sometimes, like preacher was saying, preacher was saying on Wednesday night, we just live our lives working under the sun, working for money, working for this, working for that, and from time to time, or for some people, that just happens to be their whole point in life, just working for things under the sun. But the Bible says in verse 20, lay yourselves up for treasures in heaven. And how do we do that? We'll get to that in a minute. My second and final point is that they were to feature the Lord's house. The people that Haggai, they were talking to, they were neglecting the Lord's house and Lord's work. Now, later in the chapter, they said to build the Lord's house. And we don't necessarily need to go up into a mountain and with our wood and bricks and everything to build a house. But nonetheless, there is still a work that needs to be done. Amen. How can we build the house per se? We can do that by soul winning, knocking doors, bus visiting, or just simply handing out a tract, telling somebody about Jesus, inviting them to church. Amen. Let's not work for things under the sun. Let's build the Lord's house, how can we lay up treasures in heaven? One thing I got is when you lead somebody to the Lord, that's fruit to your account. Amen. That's one way of laying up treasures and doing God's will, reading your Bible, praying, whatever He has for you, then that's how you can lay up treasures in heaven. So let's not work for things under the sun. Let's not let the Lord's house lie waste. Let's build the Lord's house.
Amen. Victor, if you'll come at this time, Victor's the next preacher boy for us tonight. And you know, one thing about what Ray is saying, you know, you can discount Ray as much as you want, but I don't know of anybody that goes soul winning more than Ray. He goes out teen soul winning, he goes out men's soul winning, he goes out bus visiting on Saturday. And so I think that's one thing that that young preacher boy is living out. So praise the Lord for that. Victor, come on.
If you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17. And the title of my message is The Temple of God. So here it says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." So, let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity you've given to preach. Be with the rest of the things that are going on tonight. Be with the specials. Be with choir songs. And be with the next people that are preaching. Speak through their message. In your name I pray. Amen. So, here it says that our body is the temple of God. Now, keep this in mind. Let's say that Brother Mick and his family, they're taking a vacation. So he leaves Trevor in charge of his house, and he gives Trevor specific commands in order to take care of his house. Well, God does the same thing with us. He gives us specific commands so that we may keep His temple functioning and clean. Today I will mention three things that we need to do in order to keep God's temple functioning and clean. And number one is walk away from sin. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, it says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." So, Flee means to depart, to leave, to hasten away. Fornication is a type of sin. So flee fornication means to depart from sin. In 1 John 3:5-9, it says, And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. So, as saved people, we should not commit sin, because God's seed, which is the Holy Spirit, is inside of us. And it should want us, the Holy Spirit is there to keep us away from sin. Point number two is walk with God. In Joshua 1:8 says, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So here it says that this is this book of law, which is the Bible, shall not depart out of thy mouth, and that we should meditate therein day and night. And in order to accomplish this, we must read our Bibles and pray. In Psalms 55:17 says, Evening and morning, and at noon will I pray, and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. We should pray at noon, at evening, and in the morning. And we should do this every day. Not only should we pray and read our Bibles, but we should also have a relationship with God. In order to walk with God, we need to have a relationship with Him. The better our relationship with God, the happier He is with us. Point number three is, walk towards others. By this, I mean tell others about Christ. Soul winning is like God's heartbeat, which is why it's so important that we go soul winning. In Mark 16:15, it says, And he said unto them, Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The purpose of a Christian is to share the news of the wonderful gift of Jesus to the world. Like Brother Mick said, Ray goes soul winning very often. And so Ray is sharing the news with other people. And that's what we should all do. If we walk away from sin, walk with God, and walk towards others, not only will we be keeping God's temple clean, we will also be bringing the blessings from God upon us. So let me ask you one question. What are we doing to keep God's temple clean?
Amen. Well, we're going to have the teenagers sing a couple of songs for you now.
Thank you.
going to go right into the preaching for the next one. I was going to say a couple of things, so Trent's going to come around, but I think what we'll do is we'll go right into the preaching here. Trent's going to come, and I appreciate we've got a whole slew of people who this is the first time that they're doing what they're doing. First time leading the singing, first time playing the piano, and some guys that are the first time preaching, but I appreciate these guys doing that. And so, Trent, if you'll come now and preach for us.
You'll turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 30. That's where we'll begin tonight. Isaiah chapter 30. When you get there, say amen. Okay, we'll begin reading. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they might add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. If you go to chapter 31, we'll read the first three verses there. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men, and not God, and their horses flesh, and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. Have you ever received a bad piece of advice? I've received plenty of bad advice over the years. One particular incident was from my brother, not to pick on him. So one day, me and Trevor, after it had rained very heavily the night previous, we go out to the garden. We like to dig holes. That was our hobby. Had nothing good to do. So I said, oh, the ground is dry. Trevor's like, no, it's not. It's wet. I was like, that thing is dry. And so anyway, he says, okay, if it's that dry, then run across. So I run across, and I get stuck in the mud. So I clip myself out of my shoes, and I go inside, get another pair of shoes, went through three pairs of shoes, and finally, the last time, I got stuck in the mud until my dad came home and had to pull me out. So that was embarrassing. So in the same way, Isaiah, in this passage, he's comparing and contrasting the council of Egypt, which we all know is a picture of the world, and godly counsel. Isaiah says, one is evil, one is wise. One is flesh, one is spirit. And when there's help, one ends in utter failure. Isaiah says, they may have horses, chariots, strength, but children of Israel, they are not God. Tonight, I just want us to think where we would be without godly counsel. Number one, without godly counsel, sin will build. If you'll look at verse number 1, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Sin may start small, but it won't stay that way. You can mark it down, sin will grow. Sin is like a garden of weeds. I have a lot of bad memories about gardens. But we have a strawberry patch at our home, and this March, we noticed that weeds started growing, and we procrastinated until eventually they were waist high, and we had to pull them all out. And sin is the exact same way. You leave it alone, you don't touch it, and you don't take care of it, it's going to continue to grow. My friend, you may think that you have control of sin, but sin has control of you. Sin will make you miserable. If you look at verse number 1 again, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering. When you sin, you always try to hide it. That is the human nature. And you can't live life always looking over your shoulder. That way, your life will be miserable. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God sees the evil that you're doing. So don't try to act like nobody sees it. God is omniscient, and he sees it. But he doesn't just see the evil in your life. Most people focus on the first part, beholding the evil and the good. So, friend, just keep pressing on. Keep what's doing right, and God will bless. Second of all, without godly counsel, our Christianity will become stagnant and apathy will begin to form. Look at verse number 7 of chapter 30. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. How many in the room are coffee drinkers, drink coffee every morning? Good majority of you. Hallelujah. So in the morning, what I do, go to the coffee pot and I pour a hot cup of coffee. And it is originally steaming hot. But if I leave it there for 30 minutes, I try to take another drink of it, it's cold. And it's the same way with our Christianity. If you leave your Christianity alone and you don't have the fire of wise counsel, it will eventually become cold. And so what you have to do to reheat the coffee is you throw it in the microwave. And that's what you do to reheat it. Then it's up to drinking temperature. And sometimes we need to go back to the spiritual microwave and say, God, we're cold, we need help. And that is how you get your spirituality back. Just think, do you have an apathetic attitude? Do you have a genuine heart to please God? Do you have a heart for others? Do we even care? Sometimes we as human beings have lost our ability to care for others. And that's sad, especially for we Christians. So take the wise counsel of going soul winning. If you'll turn to Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. It reads, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. What is the most important decision you'll make is salvation. So why aren't we telling people about it? That is the wisest thing. It says, he that winneth souls is wise. So do we even care about people anymore? Why don't we go soul winning? I really don't get it. If we really cared about people, we would make time out of our busy schedule to go and tell people. Because, believe it or not, people are lost and dying and on their way to hell, and they need somebody to tell them about it. And third of all, without godly counsel, we will conform to the world. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 30, verses 2 and 3, that walked to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. When you think about a shadow is a shaded outline of an object. To shadow someone is to follow them. So let me ask you today, what are you a shadow of? Does it reflect God, or does it reflect the world? If I were to place my hand, if you could see right here, it's a perfect reflection of my hand. So, do people see the hand of God in your life? Is that something? You know, when I think about this, I think of the story of Lot. If you'll turn to Genesis chapter 13. Going to a lot of scripture tonight, but it's good for us. Genesis chapter 13. We'll start reading in verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. you think about Lot and what he did, he didn't start by living in Sodom. Everything starts from a certain point. He started on the hill and he looked to the east, and you know what? That looks like Egypt. Because a long time before, he had established in his heart that he liked Egypt. He liked what it looked like. He liked everything about Egypt. And so when he saw that, you know what? I want that. You know, he could have gone to his uncle Abram and gave him first choice. But the Bible says that he took the first choice. And sometimes, especially we teenagers, need to take counsel before making big decisions. Lot vexed his righteous soul by being in Sodom. And last of all, without godly counsel, sin will build, our Christianity will become stagnant, and we will conform to the world. But the last one, God's grace is great enough to bring us back to Him. Amen. If you'll look at Isaiah chapter 30, once again, go back there, verse number 20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. God's grace never runs out. And I'm thankful for that. But sin always has its consequences. You reap what you sow. If you choose to live a life of sin and not listen to wise counsel, God will use the consequences of sin to draw you back to Him. The same grace that saved you can bring you back again. I, for one, am thankful for the wise counsel that I have received. Friend, are you thankful of who's responsible for the wise counsel that you've received over your lifetime? Just think, where would you be? Would you be in church? Would you be saved? Just be thankful for those people. But don't let it get to the point where you're living in a life of sin. Sin will build. Don't conform to the world. Just remember these simple principles and receive wise counsel.
Good. Athan, come on up. Athan's going to be our last preacher, teen preacher. And then after Athan's done preaching, if the ladies will come up, they're not going to preach. They're going to be singing the special for us.
Turn in your Bible with me to Psalm 119, verse 165. I appreciate the opportunity to preach in this pulpit. I realize there's been lots of great pastors that have preached here, and I appreciate the opportunity. If you're there, say amen. Okay, I'll begin reading in Psalm 119, verse 165. It says, great peace have they which love thy law. The first thing that we see in this passage is there is a great peace. Peace, defined according to the Webster's 1820 dictionary, is a state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation. We have a little dog at home. Her name is Reese's, and she does not like it when Mom gets out the grooming stuff. She hides and she cowers under the tables. But when Mommy does capture her, and she's out in like 10 minutes, she's dead. She's like a log. And that's almost like an example of what peace is. She looks like she has so much peace. And if Reese's can get that much peace from getting groomed, think about the peace that we can have through God. Great peace. Yeah. The second thing that we see in this passage is there is a great love. If we are to get great peace, we must love thy law or love the Bible. Turn with me to John 5:39. John 5:39 says we need to search the scriptures. I'll give you four things that we can do in order to love the Bible. The first thing that we can do is we need to read the Bible. I can say that I love to go fishing, which I do, but is that really true? Or can anybody believe that as true if I don't actually read the Bible? That didn't make any sense. Okay, so the first thing we can do is read the Bible. The second we can do is obey the Bible. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So not only should we read the Bible, but obey the Bible. How can I, as a kid or as a teenager to my parents, say that I love my parents if I don't obey my parents? In the same way, how can I say that I love God if I don't obey God? So we need to obey the Bible in order to love the Bible. Psalm 40, verse 8 is my next passage. Psalm 40, verse number 8. It says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within mine heart. We need to think about who's writing this passage. David is writing this passage. He's the man that God himself said was a man after his own heart. And he said that he had the law within his heart. So that's what we need to do if we want to be a man or a person after God's own heart. The first thing we need to do is read the Bible. The second, obey the Bible. The third, memorize the Bible. And fourth and lastly, we need to enjoy the Bible. Is the Bible a chore to you or is it an opportunity? Is it work to read the Bible or is it I get to read the Bible? If we're not enjoying the Bible, it's very, very hard to get something out of it. Job 23:12 says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Are we reading, enjoying, memorizing, and obeying the Bible? Are the words of the Bible more important to you than your necessary food? If not, I challenge you to make it a priority in your daily life, because that is how we get a great peace.
In the middle of the night.
turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. As the youth pastor, my heart is full tonight. But with all my heart, what I don't want is I don't want our young people to get up and just sing a song. My fear is that the young people at Faith Baptist Church will have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. The Bible says, from such turn away. I hope that when the young men were up here, they weren't just preaching, just doing a performance. A performance that they can set aside and then go on with the rest of their life. I hope that the young ladies, as they sang, that they weren't just doing a performance where they can sing and they can make a good show, but put it off the side. And I know that's your heart also. But making sure that this is not just a performance isn't just for the teenagers. Are the bus routes that we serve, is that a performance? Sunday schools that we teach in, is that a performance? The nursing home that you're able to go in and brighten the lives of those folks for a little while, is that just a performance? I challenge us. It's not in here. This is just me challenging you. Do we have a form of godliness? But deny the power thereof. I'm not going to be very long. It's already 7:15. The young men preach better than I can preach. We had a good time. The singing was great, but I want to challenge you with a couple of thoughts just tonight. 1 Kings 17 is a very familiar chapter. It's a story that you know very well, where Elijah, he's sent from the brook Cherith, and he's sent to a widow woman. When he gets to her house, it says in verse number 10, so he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, notice the obedience. He called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hands. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, listen now, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. I want to talk about a terrible plan. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you please be with the next couple of minutes. Lord, just help us, Lord, with the thought that we have here. Lord, I don't want to take too much time, but Lord, I just ask that the thought that I have would get across in a timely manner and that you would speak to our hearts. Father, my heart is full. It's full just thinking of the potential that we have in this auditorium. I pray, Lord, that you please help the young people to get it. For your word and you to just burn in our hearts, Father, please. Pray, Lord, that you please just bless for now the couple of minutes. Amen. I want you to see, first of all, the plan of death. This woman had a plan. It was a terrible plan. Her plan was that she was going to take this, what little food that she had, and she was going to cook it and then die. I've heard somebody say, I've heard the old adage, those who fail to plan to fail. This woman, she had a plan. But the problem was, she planned to fail. She planned to fail. Why in the world would you make a plan like this? You know, there's a couple of reasons that I think that she made this plan. The first reason why I think she had this plan is because this is just what made sense to her. I only have a little bit of food. So I guess I'm going to eat it, and that's just what I'm going to do, and that'll be it. But you know what? When you make a plan based only on what you see or on what you think, you and I, we are doing the same thing. We are making a plan of death. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us that we are to trust in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3, verse number 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. John 15, 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Listen to this. For without me, ye can do nothing. Listen, I'm not trying to tell you tonight that you can't make any decisions for yourselves. I'm not trying to say that you can't make any plans on your own. But what I am going to say is, do we ever run those plans by God? Do we ever get God's approval on those plans? Do we ever check with Him and make sure that He is okay with those plans? Or is that all that it is? Is it just my plan? Is it just your plan? Why in the world would she make a plan like this? Because this just made sense to her. We may find out that you and I, the plans that we are making, they are just as bad as her plans a little bit farther down the road. And we might find out that the plan that God had for us is a lot better than the plan that we lined up ourselves. This was a terrible plan. Why in the world would she make this plan? I think she made this plan because it was going to satisfy her for a little while. Turn over to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8 says this in verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Listen, this plan was only going to satisfy her, and it was only going to satisfy her for a little while. When she was done, her flesh would have just gone on and desired even more. This is why, again, and the young men spoke about it already, but this is why living for the flesh is a terrible idea. John D. Rockefeller was at one point the world's richest man. He was the first ever American billionaire. And they asked, a reporter came up to him and asked Mr. Rockefeller, how much money is enough? You know what he said? Just a little bit more. Things don't satisfy. Money doesn't satisfy. And I know I'm probably preaching more to the teenagers tonight than I am the adults, but I can say that to you also. Living our lives just by being able to get on the next rung of the ladder, that is not going to satisfy us. Why? Because that is the carnal mind, that's being carnally minded, and that is not going to bring satisfaction. In fact, the Bible says that it will bring death. Listen, young people, if I can challenge you to do anything, look at the people that are sitting around you tonight. Look at the people that are sitting here in Faith Baptist Church. Listen, the people that sit in here, they may not be rich monetarily. In fact, they are not rich monetarily, but they are satisfied. Why are they satisfied? Why are they satisfied? Why are they blessed? Because they trust in God and they trust in His will for their lives. Young people, catch that. Get that. Understand that if you live for self, the Bible says that is a plan of death. And that's a terrible, terrible plan. There is death in just living for self. Number next, go back with me. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 15. We already looked at it. We already paid attention there when it says that immediately when the man of God spoke, she listened. Look at verse number 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. This is the plan of life. This is the plan of life. The plan of life is to listen to the man of God and to listen to the word of God. to listen to God. When you do that, there is a plan of life that you are putting in practice. I don't have time to get into the second story, but the second story right here is verse number 18, where the widow's son, he gets sick, and he gets sick to the point of where he dies. And she comes to him and she says, "What have you done? Why have you brought this thing upon me and upon my house? Why have you done this?" So Elijah brings him in and he cries out to God. And the Bible says he stretches himself upon the child and cries to the Lord. And the child's soul came into him again, it says in verse number 21. But all of this happens because she listens to the man of God. Twice, because of the man of God, that young man was saved from death. The first time, if the man of God hadn't been there and hadn't intervened, they would have just eaten that last meal and would have died. The second time was when he was physically dead already. And he came and he intervened. Young person, you can be saved from a life of spiritual death by listening to the man of God when he gets up and he preaches. You can be saved from a life of spiritual death by listening when the Word of God is open and it's being preached. There is safety in listening to the man of God. Hey, I want to say that tonight to the child. There is safety in listening to the man of God. I want to say that to the teenager tonight. Teenagers, there is safety in listening to the man of God. I want to say that to the parent tonight. There is safety in listening to the man of God. I want to say that to the adult and the grandparent. There is safety in listening to the man of God. Right here, if she did not listen to the man of God, she would have gone on with her own plan, and that was a plan, that was a terrible plan, a plan of death. What would have happened if they didn't listen to him? Death. All the time, when the preacher's up in the pulpit, people hear, "Oh, there he goes again. He's talking about giving again. Oh, he just doesn't understand. He's living in the dark ages. He doesn't understand." Young folks, there are people all over America, all over the world, who are headed for a spiritual crash and burn because they will not listen to the man of God when he gets up in the pulpit. Listen, I'm not advocating man worship or anything like that, but God gave us a preacher for a reason. Hebrews 13:7 tells us that we are to obey them. James 1, verse number 22 says that we are to be doers and not hearers only. God gave us a pastor for a reason. And it'd be a good thing for all of us, children, teenagers, adults, if we all listened up when the man of God got behind the pulpit and said, "Thus saith the Lord." See what that is? That's a plan of life. 1 Kings 17, verse 13 and 14 talks about how he said, "For thus saith the Lord." I think in years past in times, and I'll be done right now, but in years past and before, a lot of times people would get caught up in worshiping a man and caught up in worshiping somebody. And you know what? There is something to be said for honoring the position. The Bible talks about that clearly. But I believe it's more about listening to the man that's opening God's Word. It's more about God's Word and listening to it. I was out soul winning with Brother Marty this week on Tuesday. And a lady, she was telling us, "Well, you see, I just feel like I need to read the Bible and get my own interpretation of the Bible." You know, that's a slippery slope. Because my interpretation of the Bible is something that's very kind to me. My interpretation of the Bible is what it says about everybody else instead of what it says about me. But God speaks through the man of God, through the preaching of His Word, and if you listen, you pay attention, you can get something from that. And if you change course from the original plan that you have based on what you think, what you feel, what makes sense to you and your senses, what you want to do, you change your course from that to what God's Word says. There is safety in that plan because it's a plan of life. There's a plan of death tonight. That plan of death is just make a plan based on what you feel, based on what makes sense to you. But there's a plan of life based on God's Word, based on God Himself, based on listening to the man of God when he preaches. The widow, she would have lost everything. All she had left was her son. She would have lost everything if she did not listen to the man of God. Parents, let's listen to the man of God. So we don't lose our kids. We may not lose our kids physically, but we may lose our kids spiritually if we don't listen when the man of God gets up and says, "For thus saith the Lord." Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you tonight. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you please help us to realize that all that we should be and all that we should do should come from you. Father, help us to realize that you have given us a preacher, a pastor, to help us in our life, to open up God's Word, to share with us the truth in the life that is in God's Word. Help every single one of us to understand that there is a path that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to realize that. Thank you so much for the young people and their hearts to serve you. I pray, Lord, that you'd please bless. Preacher, if you'll come.
Look this way just for a second. You know what that boils down to, that story? Walking by faith or walking by sight? She was just walking by sight. Saw this left, cook this, eat it, or die. She was walking by sight. And Elijah, when he told her, he mentioned it, was not his own, it wasn't what he cooked up. Thus saith the Lord. The Christian life is not stepping out on nothing. The Christian life is stepping out on the promises of this book. And when we can't see it, we obey it anyway. Because it's God's Word. So if you live your life by sight, it's a plan of death. But you live your life by faith, not in nothing, but in what God said. That's a plan of life. That's good for a teenager. That's good for adult. That's good across the board. That's not a teenage message. That's a Christian life message. Wonderful. Let's stand together. Something was said tonight that spoke to your heart. Four good messages by these young men. And a good message now about the plan of life versus the plan of death. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, a song of invitation. You obey the Lord tonight. If He spoke to you plainly about something, now's the time to come. We'll take a minute, open the altar. You obey the Lord tonight, however God would lead you. Plan of life, plan of death. Walk by faith, walk by sight. Tremendous messages, even from these young men tonight, based on Scripture. Good thoughts, excellent thoughts for us. Encouraging, absolutely encouraging tonight as they play. My Father in heaven, I thank you tonight. Our hearts are full. I was blessed. I enjoyed this. It was encouraging, Lord, to see young people at least, Lord, get up and enjoy singing and enjoy speaking from your book. And like Brother Mick, I just pray, God, this was not a performance. I pray this would be something from their hearts that going forward, they will do the rest of their life, serve you. And God, thank you for the challenge from your word about living by faith or living by sight. I pray that you'd give us the sense, the wisdom to to walk by faith every day that we live. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say to those that played the instruments, to those that led the singing, to those that took the offering, to those that preached, to those who sang in the special, it was a blessing. It's good. I enjoyed it. My heart was full. Thank you so much for everything you did. Thank you, Brother Mick and Naomi, for working with the young people and putting this on tonight. It's always an encouraging time, and I certainly enjoyed this evening.